This is Fight Network Radio Insider Report. If you want to talk to the experts, call us now at 1-888-942-7326. That's 1-888-9-HARDCORE. Anywhere in North America, toll free.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people out there giving thanks that I have no more jokes for Thanksgiving in the United States right now. But we're going to be joined by a newcomer to Fight Network Radio, although he's been, causing many, many waves, in fact, with all of his wonderful interviews. And the website is jerrypark.com. Jerry being, of course, J-A-R-R-Y, the original home of the Montreal Expos, the venue that played host to Jackie Robinson's first professional baseball game. Yeah.
Actually, Mauro.
Oh, am I wrong?
You actually made a mistake. It
what?
Was the Laurier Downs where he debuted for the Montreal Royals.
Wasn't it where Jerry Park is?
No, it was in a different location. Jerry Park came a little bit later on. And that was
Researcher's fired. He's done. Gone. Ariel Helwani. Hello there, Ariel. Thanks for correcting me on that. I always thought that Jerry Park was the scene of Jackie. Was it at least the original home of the Montreal Expos?
It was the original home of the Montreal Expos, 1969. And while my site has nothing to do with the sport of baseball at all, I just wanted to pay homage to my fallen team and, recreate it as the home of combat sports. So that's the reason behind it. But I just wanted to say an absolute pleasure to be with you guys. And just to let you know, I have inked my first ever Gus Johnson Fears Mauro Ranallo sign, and it'll be coming to an arena near you.
Thank you.
Look out for that. You got a friend in me, Mauro.
Thank you very much, Ariel Helwani. And by the way, I won't be broadcasting any games at Jerry Park.
Don't worry about it. I got it covered on this side of the border.
All right. Thank you. Now, okay, so you are from, are you a Canadian?
I am a Canadian, born and raised in Montreal. I live in New York City now, trying to make my name, a name for myself on south of the border, but love Montreal and, like I said, just wanted to pay homage to my fallen team, my city, and if I could ever give a pub to the great city of Montreal, because everyone knows we've hosted some of the best fights here at Jerry Park, which actually does host some fights. You know, they do Friday night fights and whatnot, as well as tennis. So, you know, I just thought it was a natural fit.
I think Jackie Robinson did visit Jerry Park.
He might have, but he never played any games there.
All right, we're going to move along here. And, of course, Ariel Helwani with JerryPark.com. And, again, kudos to you, Ariel, doing a really good job there. And, I mean, we're not just talking pro wrestling or MMA or boxing. You cover the whole gamut, my friend. And making some waves recently, you had an interview with Guy Metzger from HDNet Fights. And during that interview, he broke the story to you that the IFL World Grand Prix Finals were going to be broadcast live on HDNet December 29th. Now, as a follow-up, and you know us wannabe journalists here, Ariel, we got to make sure that, you know, the facts are straight. We're now hearing from our other good buddy, Sam Kaplan at 5OncesOfPain.com, that Joe Favorito, who's the IFL Senior Vice President of Communications, is saying that right now nothing is confirmed. Do you think they're just trying to put a spin on it because my good friend Ariel broke that story, or what's the deal there?
Well, the deal is this, Mauro. I called the IFL before posting that story and asked them point blank. I said, is Guy in fact telling the truth? And they told me that they will be making an announcement on Monday. They didn't want to let the cat out of the bag.
So they didn't deny it.
They absolutely didn't deny it. And one of their PR reps over there said that is what we're working towards. So I know I did kind of make some rumbles in the MMA world yesterday, but it does appear as though that's what's going to happen. The big question, and Guy said this himself in my interview, the big question is whether it's also going to air on My Network TV. I believe it won't. I don't think that both networks will work together. And I have to think that this is a big coup for the IFL because, let's face it, the ratings in Canada and the United States, it aired in Canada on Fox Sports World Canada, weren't that great for the first.
You can say that again, Ariel, when your number was something like 200 on
exactly.
Fox Sports World Canada. I mean, I have at least 200 enemies, for crying out loud. So not a great rating number.
200 in Canada, 0.4 in the United States. So, you know, here they're going to be on HDNet. They're going to be broadcast in HD, which is something that the UFC can't claim for their regular shows on Spike TV. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting. I have to admit, though, that I'm a little disappointed in the IFL. I was very excited for the semifinals. But now what they've done with adding this featherweight title I think it's kind of a slap in the face to the fans because, you know, for the 200 fans in Canada and the 100,000 or so that watched, in the U.S., I mean, we invested time in watching it, and they're, well, okay, fine, it's not going to happen, the match with Chris Hordeski and Wagner Fabiano. Now it's going to be a featherweight title fight between LC Davis and Fabiano. It just seems as though they don't have, you know,
it's very contrived. It's very contrived. And you're right. Obviously, I don't know if you can call it chaos. I think it's very close now, of course, with Garib Sheamus, who is resigned from his post as the CEO. And Jay Larkin, though, I thought that when Jay Larkin was mentioned as a new figurehead for the company and coming on in a very expanded role, he did a lot of good things at Showtime with boxing and stuff. And I'm just wondering, do you think it's too little too late, or do you think Jay Larkin now at the helm is going to be able to give the IFL its saving grace?
I absolutely don't believe it's too little too late. I mean, we have to remember that the IFL has only been around for 2 years. And like you said, Jay Larkin has 20-plus years history working in television with the sport of boxing for Showtime. And he has mentioned coming up for 2008, there's going to be a lot of exciting things. They're moving away from the teams. They're no longer going to be called the Anacondas and the, you know, the Dragons and whatnot. They're going to try to make it camp-based teams. So I think that a lot of MMA fans can relate to that. I mean, we hear of the Extreme Coutures and we hear of Miletic Camp and all that. So I think that's something that it will make them very unique in the sport of MMA. And now if they can kind of take a step back and look at what, their roster and try to sign these guys long term, which is what they've done with the Grand Prix, and now I think the Grand Prix has put a lot of names to faces, so to speak. I mean, we've all heard of some of their fighters, but once you're kind of under the banner of the team, they kind of get lost in the shuffle. But now that we have a champion, or we will have a champion in every of the five major weight classes, I think a lot of fans are going to start to realize, okay, this guy's good, this guy's the contender for that title, so on and so forth, and we can look forward to the Grand Prix. And let's face it, no other major MMA organization in North America has that kind of Grand Prix, which you know very well about, that Pride was so popular for. So this could be a nice little niche for them, and if they can get something going with HDNet, then more power to them.
And I think former Pride announcer Stephen Quadros, who, of course, I now work with on Showtime, I, from what I understand, had a lot to do with the World Grand Prix setup for the IFL. So definitely looking forward to, yeah, crowning champions, and we'll see if they, you know, the individuality of these athletes will come forth. Now, Ariel, I'm, you know, forget about DVDs. I'm still working on the VHS videotape era of my life, so I don't have a PVR or TiVo or whatever you call it. So last night, unable to catch Ultimate Fighter 6. What went down? I know that Matt Arroyo and George Sotiropoulos have joined Mac Danzig as semifinalists for the Ultimate Fighter 6 finale. Was it a good show? Did it get you more involved in the program? Or what was the dynamic like between Sarah and Hughes last night?
Anytime you have two fights in a one-hour show, it's a great show. And let me just first preface by saying that I actually used to work for Spike TV, so in case anyone wants to, you know, call me out on credibility, I'm not here to, you know, pat them on the back, my former colleagues. But that said, I thought it was a great show. I love what they did with the bowling competition between Matt Hughes and Matt Serra. It didn't quite live up to the ping pong competition of BJ Penn and Jens Pulver from last year, but two pretty good fights, I think. I'll be honest with you, Mauro. I look at the world in pro wrestling goggles.
And
I look at who's a heel, who's a face, and it's kind of embarrassing to say this on national
radio. Represent, Ariel. Represent, buddy.
And when you looked at this season, it was clear Matt Hughes is the heel and Matt Serra is the face. But I got to tell you, I'm seeing a little WrestleMania 13 Bret Hart, Steve Austin double turn going on here, because Matt Serra, and you need to watch this, he clearly became the heel in my eyes yesterday. He said that he didn't want to train Troy Mandolone's Rude Boy because he didn't want to go against his own guy. So he pretty much left Troy in the air. He said, I'm not going to train against my own guy. And then he goes and helps out Matt and George at night, special one-on-one, leaving kind of Richie out there. And Matt Hughes, for all his little subtle heel tactics, he was dead on. He said that I was very unprofessional by Matt, and I agree with him 100%. He had a job to do. They flipped the coin. They said, all right, Matt and Richie are going to go to Hughes' team. George and Troy are going to go train with Serra before their fight. And Matt didn't do his job. So I got to say, I'm actually thinking that that Matt Hughes is coming out looking at the face at the end of this season.
We are speaking with Ariel Helwani of JerryPark.com. Definitely worth going out of your way to check out. Lots of great audio interviews, all the news you want in combat sports, whether it's boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling. There's another website that does that. What's it called now?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, thefightnetwork.com. Yeah, that's right.
Right.
Ariel, Chris Jericho's much ballyhooed return, the Save Us 222 viral campaign. Jericho returns to Raw last Monday. First of all, what were your thoughts on the campaign itself? I thought the WWE hit a home run in the way that they went out and, you know, gained some intrigue and some much-needed pub in terms of the way they went to advertise the return of Jericho. But then I thought the return myself fell a little flat. I think you disagree.
I absolutely disagree. You took the words right out of my mouth. I think they hit a home run on all levels. I thought the campaign was good. I think that they waited a little too long for
yes.
the debut.
That's why I wasn't so impressed with the return, because I thought right after No Mercy, if they would have done it the Monday after, my friend, it would have been unbelievably huge. I thought it lost a little bit of its luster on Monday.
Yeah, the crowd was chanting his name after No Mercy. They really wanted him, but I think they kind of wanted to blow off the Orton Michaels program. And, I mean, now you have him coming out the last segment of the show, Chris Jericho, a guy that all wrestling fans remember, and some of the wrestling fans, you know, such as my friends and colleagues, have kind of started to gravitate towards MMA a little more than wrestling nowadays, and they remember him, although he does have a new hairstyle now and a little bit of a new wardrobe. But, you know, he comes out, he's going to be challenging for the title. I think it's a great program. I think it's fresh. We haven't really seen these two guys go up against each other, so I welcomed it. The viral campaign was a huge success. Let's be real. In this day and age of pro wrestling, especially with the internet, it was no secret that Chris Jericho was the man behind this campaign, but I thought he pulled off a great promo. And kudos to Randy Orton. I mean, we've all heard about all his misgivings outside
peccadillos.
Of the ring. But he did a great job, and as I said on my website, I felt like I was watching 1999 all over again. The Rock and Jericho, their kind of jabber fest after Jericho debuted in 99. I thought they both did a great job, and I'm actually really looking forward to this feud. And hopefully, after Royal Rumble, we can maybe see Jericho and Kennedy going up for WrestleMania, because I think those two will pull off some great promos.
Yeah, I thought that was without a doubt the best performance by Randy Orton throughout the whole show that I've seen of him since he came up from Ohio Valley Wrestling. The guy's always had the look, he's always had the work rate, and his promo skills are becoming better and better, and I think hopefully if he can put those backstage problems that he seems to be plagued with behind him, he can become a money drawing heel champion. And you're right, they needed some fresh blood. Don't get me wrong, Chris Jericho is very desperately needed right now, but I just think again they missed it by a few weeks. But you know, if that's my biggest problem, then I'm doing okay. Having said all of that, now Ariel, we have of course Vargas and Mayorga, and you talk about trash talking and Jericho Orton on Monday, but Vargas and Mayorga, two former world champions who have been trash talking at a world championship level, but now they got a fight Friday night in Staples Center, Los Angeles. Are we in for a memorable brawl, or is this just again two overweight guys who've done all their talking but won't be doing much walking in the ring?
Well, contrary to popular belief or what other boxing websites are saying right now, I'm actually really looking forward to this fight. Yes, I'm very upset that I'm going to have to pay $44.95 to watch it, because I think that's an absolute joke, and especially after their first fight was canceled on September 8th due to Vargas coming down with a bout of anemia, I think they should have given the fans this bout for free. That said, the promos these guys are pulling off are unbelievable. I mean, Mayorga's saying that Vargas has a face only a mother gorilla can love, and calling him fatty and all that is unbelievable stuff. And I know you guys are going to be showing the weigh-ins tomorrow, and I can expect a lot more fireworks between the two. I think it's going to be a pretty good brawl. I mean, these guys aren't used to fighting at 166. We all know them as 147-pounders, and clearly their better days are behind them. But Vargas has said this is going to be his last fight. They clearly hate each other. They're battling on a Friday night after Thanksgiving. I mean, there's no great Thanksgiving wrestling on, and you know, I hate to throw an insult towards TNA, but let's be real. Thanksgiving used to be a great time for fighting, and we got a pretty good fight in our hands. But I'm actually really looking forward to the undercard and Kermit Citron going up against Jesse Feliciano. That bout is huge. Kermit Citron is the champ at welterweight. A lot of people have heard of him after Dana White said that he'd love to have Sean Sherk fight a lightweight contender. In boxing, Citron came out and said, listen, I used to wrestle. I would fight him. Dana White kind of said, who's Citron? But he's the champ. He's going to be fighting Paul Williams in February, which if we've learned anything from Dana White is do not book, if you have a fight, book the fight right now.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have booked that fight. They should have done the unification bout today. And Feliciano is a guy, I mean, not a great record, but his son died in June. He's a hometown L.A. guy. This guy has a lot to prove tomorrow night, and we could see an upset. So look out for that one.
Well, coming full bore, my friend. Great debut on Fight Network Radio, and looking forward to having much more input from Ariel Helwani. It is jerrypark.com, JARRYPARK.com. Well worth, again, bookmarking and listening to all the great audio interviews he has from the world of combat sports, and of course all the news that is fit to print on the internet, which is everything, right, Ariel?
Absolutely, Mauro and John, thanks so much for having me. Happy Thanksgiving to all my friends south of the border, and remember, as good as Gus Johnson is, he holds nothing to you, man. You are the best there is, the best there was, the best ever will be. And I know I'm a mark right now for saying that, but
I appreciate that very, very much. Well, the honor's been all mine, Ariel. Thank you so much, my friend, and a happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you, and take care. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ariel Helwani, man. Wow. Wrestling, MMA, boxing, guy talks about it all. And, of course, he's hired after all those plaudits. We're going to be coming back with boxing insider Jason, the Hebrew badass Abelson. We will be talking about Kermit Cintron's title fight against Jesse Feliciano. Maybe even talk about Vargas Mayorga a bit. It's boxing when we return right here on Fight Network Radio, Hardcore Sports Radio, Sirius 186.
Always in the air.